Hi everyone, and hope you are doing well. You know, sometimes you start to say something and then get distracted. What was I going to say? And you go on and talk about something else. And sometimes we remember to come back to the first point and the thing we were going to talk about, and sometimes it just gets lost. Something similar is going on here as Paul starts this chapter with the words, "for this reason." And then he seems to break off from what he was going to say. But at least he remembers to come back to it again in verse 14 with the same words. And we're going to focus on the second part, verses 14 to 21. But I would encourage you to spend time looking at the first part of the chapter. It's well worth doing. Because in it, Paul speaks about God's amazing plan to unite people in Christ. And we were thinking about this last week. He speaks about how he and the church are called to be part of what God is doing, participants in God's activity. He speaks about how the church is to demonstrate to spiritual forces how God's wisdom is being demonstrated in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's what we do and it's how we live that actually has a significance beyond what we can see. And he reflects on his own circumstances in that context. And he encourages the Ephesians to not worry about him. It doesn't matter what's happening to him. What matters is the gospel. So some amazing things packed into those verses. Why not take some time to explore them? There's some questions to think about next in the Spark service. And then later we'll look at the second part of the chapter. Some verses where Paul prays again for the believers. And the questions I'm asking people to think about are these. Question one. What does Paul say about the mystery of Christ, which he speaks about in these verses? Question two. In verse 8, he speaks about the boundless riches of Christ. How would you describe these to someone without any Christian faith? What part is the church called to play in what God is doing in verses 10 and 11? What do you think about that? Question 4. How do you respond to the privilege of being able to approach God with freedom and confidence through faith in Christ, as we have in verse 12? And question 5. In light of all this, in verse 13, Paul encourages the Ephesians to not worry about him. What do you think about this attitude towards the challenges of life? Welcome back, and I hope you found your reflections really helpful. We're going to pick up from verse 14 and look at another prayer of Paul, and I find this prayer totally amazing. It rests on the person and work of Jesus and asks God for some wonderful things for his people. Paul is building on what he prayed for them earlier in chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Where he prayed that the believers would know God and that they would gain a deeper insight into their hope, their inheritance, and experience God's incomparably great power for us who believe. And building that, he focuses on three things: power, love, and the indwelling presence of God. It's not just power for us to use as we like, but power given for a specific purpose. These are big things. These are important things. Things to reflect on, things to experience, things to enjoy, things to be changed by. It can be a bit of a challenge to understand the structure of what Paul is saying, not just here, but in many places. But the effort is usually worthwhile. And I think that is true in this case. Structurally, if you look at the passage as a whole, I think Paul is saying something like this. He prays that God would grant strength so Christ would dwell in them, so that they would know and experience the love of Christ, so that they will be filled with the fullness of God. Paul's basis for his request is the glorious riches of God. And he was reflecting earlier on the boundless riches of Christ. So he knows he has a lot to draw on. And he prays that the believers will be built up and strengthened deep down inside them through the power of his Spirit. What a wonderful and transforming thing to pray for, that the Spirit of God will work powerfully in us so that we're able to receive, through faith, the indwelling presence of Jesus within us. this may, this will involve ongoing challenge and change in all of us. It may be hard as the Spirit works in us and transforms us, but the prize is worth it. And as we experience the indwelling presence of Jesus, as we rejoice in his company, as we share the experience of our lives with him, so we get a deeper appreciation of how much he loves us. And Paul prays that the believers will be able to grasp, to get their heads around, to understand how limitless in all directions the love of Christ really is. Paul does not want this just for individual, particularly spiritual believers, but he wants, and so he prays, that this will be the experience of everyone. Not just that they will know it as an intellectual fact, just as we may know the distance of the earth from the sun, but that they will experience it in a powerful and life-changing way, just as we experience the heat of the sun's rays as we go outside during a hot day. It's about knowing how big it is, but it's also about living in the reality of it. I remember once when I was flying to America, flying across Greenland and looking down and seeing the vastness of that land. I had known it was big, but seeing it for myself brought it home to me in a deeper way. Paul acknowledges that this love is beyond our grasp. It's beyond our ability to fully experience, but he still prays that we will know it and experience it. He's praying for something that is beyond our natural capacity, but he's confident that it is possible in Christ. He's not here praying that we will know about Jesus, although that's important, but that we will really and truly know him in a personal and life-changing way. And the reason for all of this, the motive behind Paul's prayer, is that these believers will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That the immensity of the God who created and sustains the universe will fill us in a way that takes our breath away, that leaves us amazed at the greatness of God, that draws out our response of worship and praise. And this is possible because, and it flows from what Paul has been praying about earlier, about having the person of Jesus living in us. Elsewhere, Paul describes Jesus as the one in whom is all the fullness of God. It's in Colossians 1:19. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And so it is because of having Jesus living within us that we can experience the fullness of God. We see him, we see the Father. We experience him, we experience God in all his fullness. Paul has been praying some big prayers, asking for some significant things. And people may have read his prayers and thought that he was asking a bit much, that he just needs to tone it down a bit. Maybe not asking for such a deep understanding of the love of God, but just a hint. Maybe not expecting Jesus to come and dwell deeply within believers, but just to be satisfied with the occasional experience of him. Maybe to not try and expect the fullness of God within us, as we know how fallen and sinful we are. But Paul's answer is he's not really asking enough. And he bases this claim on the fact that the God to whom he is praying is able to do so much more than anything we can ask of him or even imagine. Friends, are we prepared to, do we have faith to pray the sort of big prayers that Paul is praying here? Or do we limit God by asking him for things that we can sort of work out how to do ourselves if God doesn't turn up? Let's be prepared to have big dreams of what God can do. Let's be prepared to have big dreams of what church can be like. Let's be prepared to have big dreams about the impact that we can have in this town. Let's be prepared to pray that God will do even more than we can dream or imagine. Paul concludes his prayer by asking that God will be glorified through the church, a group of people united in his Son. Paul wanted believers to be strengthened, to have Christ living in them, to know his love, to experience his love, to be filled with the fullness of God. But he also wants these strengthened, filled, loved people to live in a way that brings glory to God. I find this prayer of Paul so challenging, so inspiring, that these blessings are open and available to us, that we can experience the reality of Jesus living us, that we can experience God in a powerful way, that we can live to bring glory to him. All possible because of the riches of Christ and the inexhaustible power of God. I'm interested to see that Paul does not ask if they want these experiences. He just prays that God will give them to these people that he clearly cares for so much. In my commissioning service last year, I said this. I was reading a book recently and came across these words. If you don't have a dream that makes you dependent on God, you need to get a bigger dream. I went on to say that I didn't want to start my time here at Crewe with a vision that I know how to achieve based on the skills and abilities I and the people around me have. I want to be pursuing a dream that can only be achieved through complete dependence on God. And I said then that one of the things that gives me confidence about this are these words in Paul's prayer, where he encourages us to have big dreams and to dream and to pray big prayers. My desires and goals are still the same. I know things have changed. Circumstances are so different, much different than we could ever have expected. But my desire, my goal is still the same, reinforced by seeing what God has already done and working with so many wonderfully and gifted and talented and committed people here. Let's have big dreams, big ideas, big prayers, and believe that God can do even more. And with those thoughts in mind, let me pray this prayer of Paul over us all. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here's some questions to think about. What is your experience of being filled with the fullness of God? How much do you think we limit God by not asking for enough? What are your dreams? What are your hopes for what God can do in us and through us? May God bless us as we seek to work out what it is he is calling us to be and to do.